One time. Okay, and that's what the scriptures are pointing to, this same thing, that we struggle so much. Sometimes people put so much focus on dying to self, I got to die to this and die to that, instead of saying, I already died to that, now I'm on this side of it and I'm going to live this way. Jesus was scourged, put to death, and the third day he would rise again. That was the plan, testimony for him. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Okay? That's all right, buddy. So this is what happened with you and I. Okay, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We have already died and been born of the Spirit. That's where all that stuff about being born again, I think we read up in that in a minute. But before we get to that, 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Okay, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Something happened. Okay, and so we are not so much focused anymore on the old man, putting the old man to death, doing away with the old man this and old man that, as we are living on the new side, living out our life as a believer and a Christian. Okay, that's where we want to get to, that point where we're not focused on the old, but we're focused on the new side of it. Now, let's look at John chapter 3, verse 1. Okay, there was a man of the synagogue of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night, and he says to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Next verse. Nicodemus says to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Legitimate question. How can he be born twice? Okay. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Okay, how many of you are there? If you were born again, are there now two of you? Or is there just one? Okay. So if Nicodemus, he had the right idea with his question, how can this happen? I'm already born, right? Little kids say, I've been borned, right? I've already been borned. Okay. Well, if you've already been borned, how can you be born again? Nicodemus asked a legitimate question. Can I enter into my mother's womb and be born again? The answer is spiritually, you died to that person. And you are born again on the new side of the creation life. Okay, this is what Jesus did for you. This is the gospel summed up into a few statements. Okay, you died to the old man, were raised anew. Okay, the old things are passed away. That old unregenerate, that lost person, that is not who you are anymore. You are born of the Spirit. That which is spirit, that which was flesh. Okay, something happened, a changeover took place when you went from living according to the flesh in the natural realm, now you're on the spiritual side of it. Okay, some of you remember from Wednesday night a couple weeks ago, Pastor Morris, that we watched a little video clip, and he explained that pretty well about you were dead in your sins, but now you're alive apart from those sins. You're in the Spirit now. Okay. Not sure where that comes in here, but we'll throw it in here. We do a family devotion, a Bible study at home. And occasions it changes a little bit depending on the day or what we're doing that week or that month or whatever it is. But lately we've been on Andrew Womack's. Okay, he has a daily devotion. And on August 1st, he had a daily devotion that was called, I think, The Two Mindsets. Okay, The Two Mindsets. And it's describing the two different kinds of mindsets, or the two people. The one is a legalist, okay, and they're into the keeping of the law to add to what Jesus already did, okay? They're a believer, but they're trying to add to the law, they're trying to add the law back in and add to what Jesus did. And then on the other side are those that were saved by grace and they know it. Okay, they're just walking by faith. They trust that God has cleansed them and made them clean. Those are the two mindsets. Then one statement from it, I wish I had the exact quote, but the one statement from it is that he says, the legalists are the ones who are focused on what they still need to do, but the ones who understand God's grace are focused on what Jesus has already done. Okay, and that's the two mindsets that we can get caught up in. I need to do this. I got to do that. I need to fix this part of my life or whatever it is. Or you can live on the new side of creation and the new life that Christ has given you and understand that Jesus Christ paid the price for all of that sin. Okay, past, present, future, all that ugliness, he paid for all of that on the cross. We sang a song this morning about all my sins on a cross. I'll never know how great it was when he paid the price for all my sin on that cross. Okay, because Jesus did what needed to be done already. So as we as believers, if we're still striving and struggling, trying to do this and get rid of this and get rid of that, we are not living with that mindset that says, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. That is not who I am anymore. So then what happens is we read God's word, okay, or we hear it taught, or we fellowship with other believers, we see what God has done and how their life has changed and things happening, and we begin to have a change in our mindset of what it is that is okay with God and what's not okay with God. Okay, so we begin to have our mind then renewed. Okay, spiritually it's all a done deal, but our mind is being renewed by the word of God. We learn from God's word that, you know what, God is not okay with this or that, or some of the big ones, lying and stealing and all those. Those are part of your human conscience. Even lost people should know those. Okay, but God gave that conscience to everybody. But as the Spirit, as we get born into the Spirit, then the Spirit actually reveals these things to us and begins to quicken it, make things more understandable to us, make us alive in Christ Jesus. Okay, let's look at John, whatever the next one is, John 10:10. Okay. So here's where we can get caught up in focusing on the past, what we still need to fix, or we can start with being born again and start living on this new side of it. Because Jesus does not want us to focus on what still needs to be done. He came to give us an abundant life full of victory here in this life. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Okay, I am come, Jesus said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Okay, so rather than focusing on the death, okay, here's where the morbid sermon turns to the life sermon. Okay, because instead of focusing on that death or what needed to happen, yes, hopefully we all came to that point. If you're born again today, you did. You came to that point where my life was not going to work. It wasn't making it. I'm not going to make it to heaven on this track. And you come to the end of yourself and you say, I'm going to lay all that down and pick up the cross and go with Jesus. Jesus Christ saved me. What he did on the cross was enough for me, and we give that over unto him. At that point, the death took place. Okay, at that point, I died to the old man. Okay, and I'll show you some more scriptures here that go along with that. First, let's look at Matthew 22:32. Okay, this is the God that we serve is not the God of the dead, okay, but he's the God of the living. Okay, and Jesus said, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay, that's why he doesn't want us focusing on what we need to put to death and do all that all the time. He wants us to focus on living the life that he created you to live. Okay, living a life of godliness, living a life of uprightness. Okay, there's some, I saw a Facebook post earlier this week that said something to the effect of the perfect person. It was describing the perfect person. Said the perfect person does not, the perfect person does not smoke, they do not drink, they do not party, and they literally do not live. Okay, or they don't live life. Okay, and I thought to myself when I read that, how wrong, how off base can your thinking get? Because the person that is understands or saved by grace and is living a godly life is the person that is free and living a full life. Okay, they don't. Their life hasn't been squelched because they walk with God. Their life isn't squelched because they're not doing things that are harmful to the body. They're living out the life that God wanted for them. That is truly living life. Okay, when I went up to the mountains and had time alone with God, I thoroughly enjoyed my time up there. Spent some time. I love brookie fishing and the little streams. And one of them was only, it was literally you could step across the stream. That's how small it was. I caught this nice little brook trout about this big in there. It was just awesome, all the time spent with him. None of that In God's creation and all that beauty and wonder and awe and all the things that I experienced up there, not any part of it had to do with compromising my integrity or doing anything ungodly or unchristian. I thoroughly enjoyed my time as a believer. Okay? The young people today, you could ask them if they're enjoying their time in the Christian youth group. Okay? And you'll get a resounding yes. Okay? They can't wait to go back to the next time. Okay, because it's so much fun and they're enjoying themselves, not compromising, not giving up. They're learning from a young age that it doesn't take alcohol and drugs to have a good time. Okay, something I never got, man. By the time I was my kid's age, I was already drinking. Okay, and so it's something that is so powerful, and yet it is so overlooked because the world promotes that you've got to have. I'll tell you, sometimes we like to watch the old Westerns, and we don't watch the newer ones because they're violent, bloody, and all that stuff. But the old ones, they don't even really show the gunshot kind of thing. You see the gun come up, and you see a guy on the ground kind of thing. But anyway, the idea, and what I was going to say is that so many of those, something comes up, and they go into Judge Garth's office or whatever, and the first thing they do, want a drink? And they got to have a drink of brandy while they discuss it. And it kind of, I don't like that part of it. I really don't. But the idea is that I think our society, just not from those Westerns, but as a whole, you know, it promotes you got to, you know, have a good time. You got to have a drink. You got to whatever it is. I think this is kind of crass. Hopefully everybody can handle it. But the last one I saw, I think we were watching a baseball game or something, and one of the commercials was a Coors commercial. Okay, and I didn't see the whole commercial. I just saw the end of it, and it's some woman throwing something, article of clothing, off to the side, kicking back with her Coors Light. And then the little slogan comes up in, Coors Light is for when the bra comes off. Okay, or something like that. It's great for that time when the bra comes off. And some of you ladies probably understand that more than the guys are like, what? They take that off? No. But anyway, the idea is that they're promoting it as it's for that great time when you're really relaxed and you can really enjoy it, okay? Anyway. The idea is that the world promotes you got to do a lot of things to have fun, to enjoy it, but you really don't, okay? That's just it's a mindset that the world has tried to promote and teach, but it's not something we have to grab onto. As a believer, I have had more great, powerful, fun experiences as a Christian. Okay, stuff where you get those revelations and you get that understanding and experiences with God where you see miraculous things happen. I don't remember too many miracles happening when I was partying. Okay, I don't just, you know, that kind of stuff is, the Bible talks about sin is pleasurable for a season. Okay, but its season ends. That's the problem with it. It's not that ever-increasing joy, that ever-increasing satisfaction with life that we can get as a believer in our relationship with God. Let's look at the next scripture. Okay, here again, just being in the life, that Jesus is on the life side and not on the death. But he says, Jesus said to the woman, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And asked her if she believes this. Okay, it's about living the life. Okay, I'm trying to show the point that God is on the life side. He's focused on the life, the living, not on trying to kill and put to death all those things. And now the Bible does talk about mortifying or putting to death the deeds of the flesh. But I think in that reference, if you look it up, he's talking about, I think we'll get to it here. Actually, let's read some scriptures. Next one. Okay, here it is talking about sin. Okay. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Okay, now look at that verse 2. It is past tense. How shall we, Christians, that are dead to sin, live any longer in sin? It doesn't make any sense. How should we, or why should we, be focused on that and dealing with that? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. In other words, when he died, we died with him. Our sin died with him. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. so that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed, past tense, from sin. That stuff no longer has a rule over you anymore. Okay, that was old man behavior, that's old life stuff. It is not the dominant factor feature in your life anymore. You are freed from that. He that is dead is free indeed, okay, from that sin. Okay, we have been freed and made alive, freed from it in all possible ways. Let's look at the next scripture. Romans 6:11, he says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let that sink in. Just memorize that scripture if you don't get anything else out of today. Memorize that. Romans 6:11. Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. In other words, think about yourself this way. Reckon yourself this way. Think this way. Live this way. You're dead to sin. I'm not trying to die to that. Okay? If I think that, if I have that mentality, it is still, I'm still allowing it to be a major part of my life. Okay? But if I say, no, I am dead to that. I am not giving it place. I am not going there. I'm not going to let my anger get the best of me. I'm not going to let lust rise up. I'm not, you are dead. I am dead to you. You're done. Okay? You're over there going unrevivable in my life. Okay, verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. Okay, we've been born again. Yield yourselves as unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Okay, this is the new side. This is the living out, not focused on the old, focused on the new. Let's look at the next scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, again, he says, and you hath he quickened. Quickened in King James literally means made alive. Okay, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works only in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the flesh, lust of the flesh, okay, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of God, even by reason of use, I think it says. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he hath made us alive together with Christ. For by grace are ye saved, and he has raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All this, if we read on, he did so that he could bless you. He wanted you to be righteous and right in his eyes so that he could bless you. Okay, that's what he was doing. And that's why, by faith, we have put to death that old man. We're not bound by that. We are dead to sin so that we could be alive to God. Okay, and he's the one that did it. It wasn't your effort. It wasn't you making it happen. He simply did all this on you, for you and on your behalf. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter 2:24 said, he, his own self, he bare our sins in his own body on the cross, on the tree, so that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. You see a then and now kind of thing, a before and after. Okay, you were caught up in all that. You were serving all the sins of your flesh and desires and all those things. Now you're on this side of it. Okay? You, now being dead to sin, you can live unto the righteousness of God. You can live out this life. Okay, let that be an encouragement. Okay, you can do what God wanted you to do. It's not something he was trying to, you know, make you to have to figure it out now. He did what needed to be done, and now you live on this side of it. So what it comes down to in real life kind of stuff. Okay, rather than seeing yourself as, let's say, you deal with anger, okay, and you kind of have a short temper. Rather than seeing yourself as, you know, I'm just an angry person, and God's got to deal with that, and I'm trying to be better. You know, rather than seeing yourself along that line, start seeing yourself as a humble servant of God that has an occasional anger outburst. Okay? Start seeing yourself as what God sees you. Okay? Instead of thinking that I still need to fix, God still needs to fix that part of my life, start saying, God already fixed my entire life. Occasionally, I let some of that stuff try to filter back in, try to come back in. Okay, it's not going to come back in and overtake. Okay, God is bigger than that. But there are things from our past, that old mentality, old thought processes, things that we trained our brain to think before, that now as a new Christian, a new believer, as a new creation, there's the word, as a new creation in Christ Jesus, we have to learn to live from our new self and not let that old try to come back in and filter in again. Okay, if you struggle with, you know, certain areas, maybe it's, you know, anger or pride. Pride's another good one. If you struggle with something like pride, rather than seeing yourself as, well, I'm just always prideful, I just have to deal with this, start seeing yourself as a humble servant of God, okay, that occasionally voices out something in a prideful way. Okay, then when you see those things, it's like that fish out of water feeling. It's like, oh, where did that come from? That's not me. Okay, and it's not. Okay, and you'll recognize it and begin to see that better. Okay, it's not about fixing up and patching up the old man. Okay, I know I've taught on that a lot, but it's not about fixing up that old person. It's about understanding what happened when you died to that old person. You were born again on the new side, new creation life, and now you live in that. Okay, it's about living that out so that you can understand what God wanted you to do. Okay, I know that God has done things already in your life, and I know that the more you understand this about the death that has already taken place, you understand how much easier it becomes to live out the life that God wants for you. Okay, I'm not saying it's super easy from beginning to end, but in the early stages of your Christian walk, or some of you are younger in the Lord, you know, maybe there's certain things that keep coming up and you're trying to figure out how to deal with that. The more that you can see yourself as dead indeed unto sin but alive unto God, the easier and quicker that will happen. Okay, those things are just not you anymore. There's things that I used to struggle with years ago in my Christian walk that simply don't even factor in anymore. Not that they couldn't, not that they wouldn't try to, oh yeah, I remember, you know, what you used to be like. Not that they won't try that, but they don't have that ability because I know that I am dead to that. Okay, and it is dead to me. Okay, I am dead indeed unto sin. It has no more power over me in that area. Okay, so see yourself as such, and then go out of here today, living your life in a way that says, I know where I stand. Okay, I know that I'm not a sinner anymore. That's not my nature anymore. God has created me a new creation, and I'll live from that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise you this morning, and just thank you that your word reveals unto us so much. And I know I go back to these scriptures a lot, Lord, because it's such a powerful understanding to know that we are dead unto sin. Father, and I pray that you just quicken, make that alive in each one of us this morning, that we hear it in our hearts, we know it, and we entreat it into our mind, and we let it change our thinking just a little bit. That mindset that we have is not about what we still need to do, but our mindset is that we're trusting in what you have already done for us. We're simply trusting by faith, and we're going forward trusting and believing that you're in control. We're going to go where you want us to go, and that life continues to get better and better and better and better. Lord, I pray that as we go through life that we see it not as something that is miserable, but that we want to get to heaven for. But we see life as enjoyable, as awesome here and now, knowing that the next life is even better. Lord, that we can get to that point in each one of our lives. Lord, do we mature as a believer to enjoy in this life that you've given us here. Father, we praise you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for enlightening us, showing us things about you, showing us things about ourselves that maybe we have never seen before. And I pray that as we go forth from here, Lord, that you'll use us, Lord. Just work your love right through us. Work on people's hearts and begin to help use in us to reveal things into other people's lives that they too can learn about grabbing on to what's already been done through Christ. We praise you, we thank you, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.